relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I won this election by hundreds of thousands of votes. There's no way I lost Georgia. There's no way. We won by hundreds of thousands of votes. I'm just going by small numbers. When you add them up, they're many times the 11,000. The people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that you've recalculated, because the 2,236 and absentee ballots, I mean, they're all exact numbers that were done by accounting firms, law firms, etc. And even if you cut them in half, and cut them in half again, it's more votes than we need.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
Can you sense the seriousness in that man's voice? Secretary of State Raffensperger, the ominous telephone call between the president and that spineless, that invertebrate politician, which is making the rounds in the fake news. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Another perfect telephone call. There was no attempt to generate votes, to distort the reality of that election. Just a common sense request. Do your job. Find if there was fraud. If there was fraud, recalculate the results. That's all that we are asking for. But of course, the rhinos, the swamp, which isn't just in D.C., well, they've got better things to do. Latest news, I mentioned it in the second hour of the show, but this is important. According to the U.S. Defense Department, Mayor Muriel Bowser of Washington, D.C., has put in a request to have members of the National Guard on the streets of D.C. starting tomorrow, January 5th, 6th, and 7th. To help with the protests. How strange. Professor Shad.
Yes, sir.
What was the National Guard's relationship to Mayor Bowser in recent history? I think you reminded me about something I forgot.
Well, if we go back just a few short months ago, mm-hmm. while BLM was parading through the streets of our nation's capital.
Trying to burn down churches.
Yeah, attempting.
Right.
Luckily, unsuccessfully. And were dispersed because of it. Bowser raised a huge hubbub and eventually got them all kicked out of our nation's capital. So apparently, it's okay for you to burn a church. The National Guard was being too ham-fisted this time around. But if you are coming out here to cast doubt on the results of the election, then you're apparently dangerous and worth clamping down on? In comparison?
Are you saying there's a political motivation?
Look, I would never cast any sort of claim like that on any of our elected officials. Of course not. She might hate the families, she might hate the sauce, but, you know, she can't be political. Have you heard about this, the mumbo sauce thing?
I have not heard about the
mumbo sauce. Mumbo sauce, for those who don't know, huge deal in D.C.
Educate us.
Yeah, huge deal in D.C. It goes back many, many years, a mixture of plum sauce, barbecue sauce. It's really great, actually. You might not think it is. And it's huge in the local culinary scene. She hates it. Hates it.
This is important.
Yeah.
Is this a sauce for barbecue?
It's a sauce for everything, preferably eaten on pizza.
What?
Yes.
Is it made with plums, did you say?
Yeah, no, plum sauce. So the stuff that you, like the salty plum sauce that you would get at a Chinese restaurant.
Right. Oh, yeah, I love the plum sauce.
Yeah, and barbecue sauce mixed together. It's like sweet and tangy.
Are you serious?
And she hates it. And she hates it. And the thing is all these people in D.C., no, this is D.C. culture. And she's above it. She's above reproach. She thinks it's lower class and icky.
Only we bring you a discussion of plum sauce with barbecue sauce and the National Guard. No, I'm sorry. No other show does this. It's because the team we bring together. Thank you. I have been educated and I've been reminded it's just pure hackery. I may have invented that word, but it's perfect for Mayor Muriel Bowser. It is utter, utter hackery. Okay, let's talk about the six that will now be patrolled by the National Guard. Vice President Pence, let's give you the facts of the matter, has said challenging the results is absolutely fine. His office gave out a statement from the vice president. I'll just read a small excerpt of it. The vice president shares the concerns of millions of Americans about voter fraud and irregularities in the last election and, quote, welcomes the efforts of members of the House and Senate to use the authority they have under the law to raise objections and bring forth evidence before the Congress and the American people on January the 6th. So there you have it. He's doing his constitutional duty, and he is agreeing with those who are raising concerns. In the meantime, somebody called Lynn Wood is posting this. This is a direct read, guys. If Pence is arrested, Secretary Mike Pompeo will save the election. Pence will be in jail, awaiting trial for treason. He will face execution by firing squad. He is a coward and will sing like a bird and confess all. One word. Linwood, get some professional help because you're a loony. Let's stay on this topic. Let's go to Jared Dayton, Ohio, line one. Welcome to America First and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Dr. Gorka. I'm so excited to talk to you. I got to say, I've seen you many times on YouTube. I don't watch regular TV all that much. But having been a Whovian since the mid-80s, I'm quite proud of your
best doctor.
Best
doctor? Come on, Jared. Who's the best Doctor Who?
My first was Peter Davison. His daughter's married to a doctor. I got to go with Peter.
Oh, my gosh, that is a very unusual choice. Although they do say your first one is always your most important. So I have to respect that. Not a very popular doctor, but I respect that.
No.
I respect that.
But at least it's not Colin Baker.
Fair point. And the Androzani miniseries was superb. So, yeah, the Caves of Androzani.
It was.
All right, let's get to serious, less serious stuff. Go ahead.
Well, I do have one thing I would like to say, and then I have a question.
Yes.
So I believe I know the answer to our good reverend from the other day.
Go ahead.
So a friend of mine was actually going to get married, and they had talked about possibly me officiating. Having never gone to seminary, my only option was to go online and get ordained.
Oh, my gosh.
So I believe that is how he is a good reverend, and why he doesn't understand the meaning of amen.
It's possible he got one of those online reverendships. It is possible. So did you do that? Did you really go online?
Get a card.
Did you go online?
Yeah, you can get a card and a certificate. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Now, they ended up going another route, but I joke with people whenever I say bless you when they sneeze, and I say, you know, it does hold a little water because I am ordained.
You really, really not raising the tone here. What is your question, Jared?
Okay, so do you believe that our good, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, I'm from the state of Indiana, will Mike Pence actually have the guts to set aside these unconstitutional, in my opinion, results from some of these states like Pennsylvania and Michigan and do what's right and let it be decided by our Congress? Will that happen, or are we just doomed?
So there's two parts to the answer for that question. Number one, I'll talk about my personal experience. having worked in the White House for the president and having got to know Mike Pence a little bit during that time, I consider him, based upon my personal experience, to be one of the few honorable people in politics in America today. Let's say in Washington. I don't know all the politicians across the country. One of the few honorable men. I have no reason to doubt that he will do what is right. But here's the second part of my answer. He doesn't have the power constitutionally to nullify the election. We're going to break it down. Everybody wants to know. There's such ignorance with the way the Electoral College functions and what the Constitution permits and does not permit that the rest of this hour, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk to Jenna Ellis, the president's attorney, constitutional law professor, practicing lawyer, senior legal advisor to the Trump campaign. And Jenna, I've asked her to walk us through everything that can be done within the Constitution and everything that should be done. But the idea that some are spreading on the right, that one man has the power over the whole election, is just wrong. And you can't be a conservative and believe it. If that were the case, then we would have generated our own King George, and the founding fathers would have given the incumbent president of the Senate omnipotent powers to just override the election results, which is not the case. What can he do? Now, that's another question. And we're going to break it down with somebody who knows. So God bless you, Jared. Thank you for your patience. I'm not going to call you Reverend because you're not. This is the Salem Radio Network. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Look for America First, Sebastian Gorka. Hit the notifications bell twice. We're everywhere where you want to be able to find us, including YouTube and Parler. Do it now.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
You can't say that. You can't say they don't agree with America First. It's an outrage. Thank you, Mr. President. We are back. If you haven't done so already, please make full use, make full utility of our relationship with the great Mike Lindell, the inventor, the purveyor of the best pillow known to man. More than 51 million sold. I rest my head on one every night, and he's going to give you more than 60% off if you use my name. Go to mypillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call 800-829-8468. Not $69.98 for a pillow, $29.98. Do it today. Mypillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. She's one of the few. The proud. She's not a Marine, but she could be. She is the president's lawyer. She is senior legal advisor to the Trump campaign. And she's a good friend of the show, Jenna Ellis. Welcome back to America First.
Thank you so much, Seb. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes, indeed. Happy New Year. And it's promising to be quite a year already. So we have been discussing all day the upcoming events here in the swamp. Wednesday, January 6th, there's going to be a massive, massive rally, a massive march. The president is now involved. The Secret Service has taken over. They are already preparing the area where thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of supporters of the president will congregate in the ellipse, in the green area between the White House and the Washington Monument. I intend to be there. It's going to be quite the event. But more importantly, Capitol Hill. Now, Jenna, you have been fighting the good fight. You have always... This is why I love you so much, because whatever the left does, you don't allow it to undermine your commitment to the Constitution. And my argument has always been, yes, they're doing things that are illegal. Yes, it's wrong. But we must stay loyal to our commitment to the Constitution. Let me ask you a personal question, Jenna. Are you disappointed by some of the things you are seeing on social media and elsewhere in terms of people who say they are conservatives, but who are calling for, let me put it mildly, unconstitutional actions to be taken.
I really appreciate that, Seb. And yes, frankly, I am, because if we are Americans with an understanding of the process that the Constitution establishes and why we are a nation that is rule of law rather than a nation of rulers, then we cannot undermine that and try to correct an incredibly frustrating and deeply illegal process that's occurred in these six states with an election that's been stolen. We cannot try to correct that by helping the Democrats tear down our country. That's just not an option. And so we have to make sure that we continue to fight, but we fight the bounds of the law and we fight for the rule of law, because the moment we step outside of that, we are just as bad as they are, and we are helping them to tear down our country. And I'll never do that.
Yeah, that's a fabulous way of looking at it. That we can never allow ourselves to be used by those who hate our republic to help tear it down. That has got to be the ultimate measure of who we are and what we do. She's Jenna Ellis, attorney to the president, senior legal advisor to the Trump campaign. Follow her right now, Jenna Ellis, ESQ, on Twitter, also on Instagram. Jenna, I'm not a lawyer. I studied a bit of international law in grad school, but I'm not an international lawyer. Let me tell you what my appreciation is of what could happen or what should be happening in the next few days, and tell me what I'm missing, what I've left out, or if I've got anything wrong. So the Electoral College votes are physically transmitted. They are carried to Capitol Hill. They are processed through that joint session of Congress, and there has to be a count. And eventually the winner of that count, if there is a 270 Electoral College slate mandate, is announced by the president of the Senate, who is the incumbent Vice President Mike Pence. However, what we have right now is Senator Cruz and others calling for a special commission to investigate in a matter of days, which is very ambitious, the questionable results from key states. If one congressman and one senator calls for an objection to a certain result of the Electoral College, that objection should be debated and has 2 hours of debate before a vote is taken on it. Is that the constitutional order of things? Am I missing anything? Tell us what else the American people need to know.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And I think that this process and this commission is a good idea. My question for Senator Cruz and others is, why haven't they called for this sooner? Why Yes. haven't they gotten involved sooner? And also this process and this question of the vice president's role, I think that it's unfair to put a significant burden on him to say that somehow under the Constitution he has discretion which votes to count and which not to. That's not within his role in the Constitution. But what is in his role, and I think that this is what the people who are advocating for Mike Pence in other ways, what they're missing, I think that it is constitutionally appropriate if he has two competing slates of electors, and this has happened before in Yes. America's history, in 1877, this is why we have the Electoral Vote Act and all of these things that have arisen. What he can do is say, I have two competing slates. I have objections from members of Congress that have clearly cast doubt as to the legitimacy of these certificates. And so what I'm going to do is pose a question to the state legislatures and ask them, which of these slates, if any, have been certified in the manner that your General Assembly has provided for? Because under Article 2, Section 1.2 in the U.S. Constitution, only the state legislatures have authority as to the manner in which electoral delegates are chosen. So he can ask that question. That's not exercising discretion. That's not doing anything outside the bounds of the congressional role. It's simply putting it back on those states who are hiding under their desks right now and refusing to act, refusing to answer that question. That will then force them to answer that question and to say this slate or that slate was selected in the manner that we have prescribed by law.
So this is so important. As somebody who worked in the White House when Mike Pence was there, who deems him to be one of the most honorable men in American politics, I am outraged by those who call themselves conservatives, who are lambasting him now, who say, oh, it's up to him, he's the one man. Does anybody who loves this nation and respects this republic believe the founding fathers wish to give that kind of power to one man, that one man could throw out a whole election or deem it to be correct? Of course they didn't. That's dictatorial. But he can ask a question. You heard her. The power of his discretionary question is a mighty powerful one. And we are going to continue to look at the potential scenarios for this week and all the days until January the 20th with none other than Jenna Ellis. Jenna Ellis ESQ. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the president. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay on this channel. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
How are you consuming America First? Is it purely through your ears? Are you listening to us live? Are you downloading the podcast? Check out our YouTube channel. I don't know if we've blown past that 25 million views already since I was away for a few days. Happy New Year, everybody. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube. Look for America First, Sebastian Gorka. Hit the subscription button. Hit the notifications bell twice, and you'll never miss a thing. And don't forget, we're on Rumble as well, just in case. You've got to have a plan B. Because Google and YouTube, they ain't friends of the First Amendment. We are back with the biggest topic, not of the day, of the week, of the month, of potentially the year, with Jenna Ellis, attorney to the president, senior legal advisor to the Trump campaign. Follow her at Jenna Ellis, ESQ, on Twitter, also on Instagram. Jenna, we left our listeners and our viewers with this fascinating description that you said, look, the vice president, as president of the Senate, has the right to pose an interrogative, to ask the state houses if there's more than one slate, and there will be multiple slates of electors sent, we know this, to Congress on January the 6th. He can ask them, he can go back to them and say, okay, so what's going on? Which one is it? What is the method for that interrogative? Because, of course, we could see delays and so forth. So how would that happen in reality?
Yeah, and that could happen in a variety of procedural ways. But essentially, he would just formally pose the question to the states and give them a timeline or a deadline to respond back. And he could even say, and if you fail to respond by a certain date, then because of his oath of office to make sure to count the delegates in the manner that were prescribed by the state legislatures, and he is not convinced that, and he doesn't have any knowledge that they were certified according to the manner that those state legislatures prescribed, then he just wouldn't open or count any of the electoral delegates from that state. And, of course, if that were the case, then there were perhaps three or more of these states that didn't respond, then neither candidate would reach 270 electoral votes. That would then force the House of Representatives to vote by state delegation. Or if the the state legislatures do respond, they would do so through a special session. They would have to then determine through their own process how to respond to the vice president, and of course would need to do that before January 20th. And I think that that is not only constitutionally appropriate, it's a fair question. Again, we've seen throughout America's history that two slates of delegates from multiple states have either been in contention, the vote's been contested, or two slates sent. And to what you just said in the prior segment, Seb, I think that it's so incredibly important that we definitely do not want to have a precedent, what some conservatives or so-called conservatives are calling for, that the vice president in any way have discretion or exercise his own judgment. That's why putting this back on the state legislatures to respond to a question is constitutionally sound. I mean, imagine if 4 years ago, then Vice President Biden had the discretion to count electoral votes or not, we likely would have ended up with a President Hillary Clinton. This is why we can't ever interpret or misinterpret the Constitution to say that the founders ever intended one person from the executive branch that's now stepping over into a legislative function in Congress to have that much discretionary authority. It's always been given to the state legislatures to select the manner of the electoral delegates, and for Vice President Pence to simply say, which of these two was selected in the manner that you prescribed, and those are the ones that I will count. And if they say Biden delegates, well, then they will have to answer to their state for that, but they will at least have to answer the question, and we will have a much more clean outcome to this election.
And if neither candidate, because there's some issue, because that slate cannot be confirmed, if neither candidate gets 270, that's when the contingent election scenario kicks in, correct?
Yes, and then the states have one vote. They don't vote according to the U.S. House of Representatives, each of the members. It's by state delegation, so each state gets one vote.
It's happened before, and if it was good enough to elect Thomas Jefferson to the highest office in the land, I think it's good enough to get Donald John Trump a second term. These are the permutations, the legal, the constitutional scenarios, not some crazy fever dream of extremists. Listen to the woman who knows, advisor to the president on legal matters, attorney to the president, also senior legal advisor to the Trump campaign, Jenna Ellis, Jenna Ellis ESQ on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
A little bumper music from Aha, which is what I think whenever I have Jenna Ellis on the show. We are back, America First on the Salem Radio Network, with me, Sebastian Gorka, member of the President's National Security Education Board. Car Firearms Group is proud to sponsor this segment. Car, K-A-H-R, Car Arms, Magnum Research, who bring you the Desert Eagle and Auto Ordnance. The classic Tommy gun. That's the Car Firearms Group, KAHR.com, a family of brands defending your family's freedom. I carry a Car 9mm. You should too. Jenna Ellis is walking us through the scenarios, the role of the President of the Senate, the role of Mike Pence in the Electoral College count this week. Let's talk about objections. We have, I'm so glad you said it. We have, you used this phrase in our first segment, the deeply illegal election and the fact that we have many Republicans, more than 140 in the House, a dozen in the Senate now who pledge that they're going to do something about it. Should have happened earlier. You're absolutely right. Walk us through the constitutional requirements, the scenario whereby if one congressman and one senator objects to a result, what happens next? And is it an objection to a state result or a precinct? And who gets to debate it? How long for? And then what is the vote afterwards?
Yeah, so this goes back to the 12th Amendment and the proceedings. And then, of course, after that election that was hotly contested in the late 1800s, the Electoral Count Act, which was then, of course, codified into statute. But we know that Congress can set its own rules in terms of procedure and how they operate to get to the fulfillment of the 12th Amendment and ultimately the Electoral College Count, which is the constitutional method of appointing our president. And so what happens, of course, is that the vice president, who is then serving as the president of the Senate, asks if there are any Congress members who object when he is opening the envelopes from each of those states. And so if a member objects, if both the House and Senate members lodges an objection, then the legislators will withdraw to their respective chambers, to the House and the Senate, and there's a two-hour debate. And then by simple majority is how those votes are either certified and counted by Congress or the objection is sustained. And so, unfortunately, Seb, we are in such a highly, highly politically contentious environment that, of course, the Democrats are not going to object or actually look at all of the irregularities and outright fraud and ignoring the rules that happened in these six states. So I don't think that these objections, from a practical sense, we're not going to get to that majority in the House. But that is why it's so important not just to lodge these objections for the record, but because of these objections, for the vice president to then go back to the state legislatures and ask them this question and say there's so much debate. And for the American people, for us to have confidence in the legitimacy and the transparency of our free and fair elections, to be confident that the states are willing to enforce their rules and to protect election integrity and the future of free and fair elections in America.
And is the objection brought with regards to a state? So does one congressman or woman and one senator say, I object to the results from Arizona? Is that how it works?
And the electoral slate of delegates from that whole state, yes.
And then each House, well, the House and the Senate retires to debate that result for 2 hours, and then a simple vote is taken with a 50% plus one to either accept that objection or to reject it, correct?
Yes. And so then after the outcome of that debate, then they reassemble in the joint session and then continue to move on to count the next state, and they go in alphabetical order. So of course, Arizona will be one of the first ones up, and and then we'll move all the way through the 50 states in alphabetical order. So it'll be a very long day, January 6th.
Yeah, and if say theoretically, because now we have so many potential objectors that they object to every state's results, and each one requires 2 hours of debate, people have to sleep, then they have to take a vote. Is it possible that the certification of the whole election could be delayed to such an extent that the contingent election automatically kicks in because nobody is declared the winner?
Well, that's possible. I don't think from a practical standpoint that that's going to happen. It's possible, but starting on the 6th, then, you'd have to be in, 2 weeks of debate, which would be, the equivalent of about 100 hours plus the time to reassemble and all of those things. So while it's possible, that sort of mechanism, I don't know if that's being planned by Congress, that's certainly possible.
Well, I'm was never strong at math, but there are 50 states, 2 hours per objection. I think that makes 100. So who knows? All I know that it's going to be a crazy, crazy week. And I want all of you, all of you right now to follow this lady, because when others are losing their minds, when others are simply calling for things that are un-American and in contravention of our Constitution, as they say they wish to protect it, I know there's one voice that takes her oath of office seriously. And whenever she posts her legal opinion, you can take it to the bank. Follow her right now. She's a personal friend of the show. She's a warrior princess for the truth. Attorney to the president, senior legal advisor to the Trump campaign, Jenna Ellis. And you can follow her at Jenna Ellis ESQ. God bless you and a happy new year. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C. From the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that is 100% drug-free. I don't read a script. I don't have talking points. I've lived it now for more than 2 years. Yes, happy anniversary, I guess, to the show and to my pain-free life. Relief Factor is providing relief to tens of thousands of Americans, and you could be one of them. The ingredients of this product attack the cause of the pain, the inflammation. Find out if it could work for you by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack for the paltry sum, the nugatory sum of $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And you could be like Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I am a believer, 100%. That could be you. Don't you deserve to find out? Of course you do. Go to ReliefFactor.com right now or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com. If you found relief nowhere else, this is the time for you to choose. As the president says, what have you got to lose? I tell you what, just your pain. Find out today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
America First, Magnificent.
Discernment. Prudence. Not words that are much used today, but I encourage you to use them and to live by them. It really does separate a serious man from an unserious man, a serious woman from a girl. Prudence and discernment. And yes, she's right. When Jenna Ellis called the election deeply illegal. But our response to something deeply illegal shouldn't be something likewise deeply illegal. Because if that's what we do, what separates us from those who we say are destroying our republic? Even on the most simplistic, childish level, you don't use the tactics of those who you say are using the wrong tactics. You can't maintain your honor, and you can't say that you stand for the values you stand for if you lower yourself to the gutter where they use those methods. So we stand by the values. We stand by the traditions, the faith articles upon which this nation was built. And we don't undermine them simply because somebody else is trying to destroy the edifice that is America. Because that's what separates us from those who hate America. We do not believe that our ends our honorable ends, can maintain their honor by being realized in dishonorable ways. That way lies damnation and perdition. I'm not saying we don't fight. You know me. I'll go down fighting for the values upon which this program was built. But never, ever forget who you are and what it is you're fighting for. God bless you all. It's good to be back. Happy New Year, my fellow patriots. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.